Welcome to Trinity Lutheran Church.
Thank you for joining us in worship today.
Thank you. Your disciples not walk according to the tradition of the elders, and eat with defiled hands. He said to them, "Well, did Isaiah prophesy to you, hypocrites? As it is written, 'This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men.' You leave the commandment of God and hold to the tradition of men." He said to them, "You have a fine way of rejecting the commandment of God in order to establish your tradition. For Moses said, 'Honor your father and your mother,' and whoever reviles father or mother must surely die. But you said, 'If a man tells his father or his mother, whatever he would have gained from me is korban, that is, given to God, then you no longer permit him to do anything for his father and mother,' thus making void the word of God by your tradition that you have handed him." And many such things. This is the gospel of the Lord. And now, having heard the word of God, we join together in speaking the words of our competition. Words of the Apostles' Creed, we confess together. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, of God, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into heaven. The third day he rose again. Everybody today? Good, good. Can you believe it's already the last Sunday in August? Can you believe that? You guys already been in school for a couple weeks. You doing okay? Everything's all right? Okay, good. Glad to hear. So I'm going to ask you maybe even a question you're not expecting me to ask you. What are some of your favorite smells? What are some of your favorite smells? What? Baking cookies. That's what you must be able to smell. You walk in the kitchen and you can smell those cookies. It's a pretty good smell. Maybe what's your favorite smell? What's one of your favorite smells? Pineapple? Okay, yeah. I'm just got a good fruity smell. Oh! begin. Thank you. means that you can make a room smell good with a candle in the car wash. But if you put that candle out, if you blow the flame out, after a little while, you're going to smell that bad smell that you're trying to cover up again. Because the candle, as nice as it smells, doesn't take away the thing that's making the bad smell. So if all you have is a candle to cover up the bad smell, that's not going to solve the problem. That's just going to maybe help you deal with the problem for a little bit. It's not going to solve the problem. Now, I was thinking about that as I was thinking about what Jesus has done for humanity. We have this thing in our lives that we talk about a lot, especially in church, that makes things smell that maybe not really like the truth. But there's this thing in our lives called sin. And when we do things that are sinful, we do things that we shouldn't do. We do and say things that are wrong or go against what God wants us to do. That can make things really stinky. Can just make life stink. And, you know, we can try to do all kinds of things to cover that up, right? Like, we might try to be really good, try to be really helpful to our friends and our neighbors, right? We can try to say all the right things, do all the right things. We can try to always obey what our moms and dads tell us to do, what our teachers tell us to do, right? We can try to do all the good things, read our Bibles, come to church, all these things that are really good things, right? And those things smell good in life, right? Those are the things that help life to smell good and fresh. But that does take away the sin. There's only one thing that can take away the sin. And that's Jesus. Jesus took all of your sin upon himself. All the stinkiness that's in your life, he took it upon the cross. He died for you. And because he's taken that away, that's the real thing that can make our lives fresh again. And he does it through his word, through holy baptism. He makes our lives new and fresh. So, yes, we do all those good things that we're supposed to do because we want to do those things, and that's what our faith leads us to do. But it all starts with Jesus. It starts with him taking away our sin, and we do everything fresh and salvaged. So let's close our hands and bow our heads and pray to Jesus. You can repeat after me. Dear Jesus, we thank you for making our lives new and fresh. In your name we pray. Okay, thank you guys so much for coming up here. You go back and sit your moms and dads. And the rest of us will continue with our service. Today comes primarily from the Old Testament reading from Isaiah chapter 29. This passage also gets quoted by Jesus in our gospel reading in Mark chapter 7, so we're going to talk about that briefly as well. But here in this passage before us, the Old Testament, the Lord is giving the ancient people of Judah a pretty stern talking to. It's because the people living at that time were filled with pride. They thought they knew better than God what was best for them as a nation. So God has to put them in their place. But you see that even as he's doing that, toward the end of this passage, there's still a word of promise, there's still a word of hope that for those who humble themselves in faith, for the meek, they shall obtain fresh joy to the Lord. That promise is true for us as well. People of a certain age who once upon a time watched a lot of television in the 1990s and therefore endured many ridiculous commercials that were on TV in the 90s. Especially if any of you consider yourself Gen X or maybe an older millennial like myself, you probably will recognize this song. All of your problems. That Mentos commercial, or the series of Mentos commercials, Mentos Mints, back in the 1990s, those commercials taught us that no matter what might threaten to ruin your day, all you gotta do is pop one of those little chewy white mints into your mouth, and suddenly everything in your life will improve. I don't have a screen up here set up so that I can show you what those commercials were like, but they pretty much all followed the same pattern. There were a ton of different versions of the Mentos commercials. A lot happened in 30 seconds in those commercials. You were introduced to characters, and this problem became evident. And of course, there was Mentos there to rescue everybody and get them out of any jam that you could possibly imagine. There's a group of college-age students, and they're trying to cross the street. And one of them gets cut off from the rest of the group because some businessman just drives right into the middle of the crosswalk.
Oh no! What's going to happen to this man who's wearing denim from head to toe? How is he going to reach his friends on the other side of the street?
Well, he pops the Mentos into his mouth, and suddenly he's got a great idea. He gets into the back of the car and goes through the car to the other side, and of course then turns around and shows the driver his roll of Mentos, you know, to avoid any possible confusion.
A young man is wearing a dark suit and he sits down on a bench that has been recently painted. So when he stands up, he realizes he's got wet paint, white stripes all down the back of the suit. Oh no! What's this man going to do? This man with his plastic 90s haircut parted down the middle. What's he going to do? How is he going to go to the office looking like that?
He pops the Mentos into his mouth, and suddenly, he's got the right idea. He starts whirling around on the whole bench. He stands up, and voila! He's got a beautiful new pinstripe suit. The painter selects it with his paintbrush, and the man smiles and holds out the Mentos. The fresh maker. The fresh maker can solve any problem. Or so it would seem. Obviously, commercials are not real life, so if you go and buy yourself a roll of Mentos, I'm sorry to say it, but I don't believe that all of a sudden, magically, all your problems are going to go away. In fact, I would even go further, and I would say it's even questionable whether Mentos can solve the problems that they're designed to solve, which is bad breath. I'm not even sure they're that effective. I mean, Mentos taste good, don't get me wrong. If you're in a peppermint or whatever, it's fine. They're pretty much just a chewy mint candy. They're not really going to neutralize any odors. If you are eating garlic or onion in large quantities, then I don't think Mentos is going to be the place you need to go to take care of that. You're going to need something stronger. You're going to need to go to the source of the problem. You're going to need to brush your teeth and use mouthwash or whatever, but Mentos are not really going to help. They might just make things a little bit mintier, a little bit easier to handle for a few minutes. And that's about it. And I was thinking about this, it's all popped into my head. I was considering that one verse that appears in both the Old Testament reading today and also the Gospel reading, because Jesus quotes this passage from Isaiah in the Gospel reading. It's not a particularly happy or positive or uplifting verse, but it is a powerful one. It goes like this. This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. This people honors me with their lips. Lots of chew on, pun intended. There's lots of chew on in that one little verse. Now, in both cases, whether you're talking about Jesus saying this to the Pharisees who had been giving him a hard time because he was allowing his disciples to eat with unwashed hands, which was not really a hygienic thing, but it was more about ritual and tradition. The Pharisees were giving Jesus a hard time, and he says this to them. Or you're talking about Isaiah, who's preaching this to the leaders of ancient Judah many, many years before Christ's ministry. These leaders in Judah, in the days of Isaiah, had stopped trusting in the Lord. But in both of these cases, you have people who are God's people not doing what they ought to be doing. And so what this reminds us in both of these situations is that at times, our faith needs a fresh maker. Sometimes, because sin pervades every aspect of our lives, even our worship, even our devotion to the Lord, even our prayers, sometimes they eventually will get stale. And dare I say, over time, they can even start to stink. I know
to us even when we are trying to do our best. I mean, look at us right now. We are here. We are in church Sunday morning. There are so many worse things we could be doing with our time right now. How frustrating it is to hear the preacher say that maybe even this isn't good enough. That's kind of annoying. That's your offer. Why would you say that? But you know, that's how sin works. That's how sin works in our entire lives. Even our quote unquote good deeds are laced with things that are not so good. Things like self righteousness, ungodly motivations, times when we might think, you know, if I do X, then God has to reward me with Y. You know what? All of that stinks. It stinks literally to high heaven. It stinks. We can take a closer look at the situation that was going on in Judah at the time that Isaiah had preached these words originally. And I'm going to try to do that, but also sparing you the boring political details of all the things that were going on in the kingdom at the time. But the main issue in this chapter 29 all revolves around King Hezekiah. King Hezekiah was the king of Judah in the 700s BC. When you study the era of the kings, there's all these names and there's all these dates, and it's really hard to keep it all straight. And if you've ever taken the time to try to study these things, maybe you've noticed in the past that it seems like outside of the names that were really familiar, David and King Solomon, those guys. It seems like a lot of these other guys, these other kings of Israel and Judah, were pretty terrible in their leadership, and they were pretty unfaithful when it came to their relationship with Yahweh, the one true God. It really is true that outside of David and Solomon, there really are just a small handful of other kings that you would even consider to be faithful. Now, thankfully, King Hezekiah was one of the kings. King Hezekiah was one who, when he came to power in the kingdom of Judah, he actually tried to do the right things. He restored and repaired things in the temple, restored the worship that was going on in the temple. He also decided that it was going to be illegal from that point forward to worship any other gods except for Yahweh. So, no more Baal. No more Asherah. He got rid of all of these pagan altars and all of these things. So from the outside, it seemed as though Hezekiah and the people of Judah had their hearts closer to the Lord than had been in Judah for generations leading up to this, for years and years. Everything was great. Everything was fresh and new and smelled good, except for one little problem. Actually, it was a good problem. It became a big problem. Big, bad Assyrians. They were threatening to come to destroy everything. In fact, King Hezekiah was the king in the south while the Assyrian destruction of Israel in the north was taking place in 722 BC. So Hezekiah, looking at this all going on, is saying, they're coming for us next. Things were looking real bad. And make matters worse, Mentos weren't even invented yet, so you couldn't even solve the problem anyway. So, Hezekiah, in spite of all the good things that he was promoting in his kingdom, decided to do one really stinky thing. He decided to try to make an alliance with Pharaoh down in Egypt. Israel and Egypt never were always fighting with the Egyptians. But this is one of those, you know, the enemy of my enemy is my friend. So they thought if they could bring Egypt on board an alliance, then they could fight off these big, bad Assyrians. And that was never going to work because they're putting their trust in Pharaoh instead of the Lord. It was never going to work. So even though Hezekiah's lips are honoring the Lord, his heart, as Isaiah points out, is far from him. Because Hezekiah's heart was filled with fear rather than God what was best for God's people. Hezekiah needed a dressmaker, one who could get to the source of the problem in his heart, not just something that would mask the problem or try to make the problem go away temporarily. Something that'll just make everything smell nice and minty fresh again for you. That's a problem you need something. Now, we can pick on this topic, but we know there's nothing new under the sun. Things that Hezekiah was struggling with are very similar to the kinds of things that the Pharisees were struggling with. In our gospel reading in the days of Jesus, the Pharisees, who they, of course, were known for being faithful in the way that they obeyed the Lord. Jesus points out their hypocrisy because there is some greed in their hearts that stinks. They're ignoring the fourth commandment to honor your father and your mother instead of taking care of their aging parents. The Pharisees came up with this great idea. Hey, we can keep all of our money for ourselves if we just say that the money we would have spent on our parents is korban, it's dedicated to God. Doesn't that sound so pious, so wonderful, so refreshing? It's given to God instead of mom and dad. Jesus says that stinks. That goes against the fourth commandment. You're putting the commandments of men over the commandment of God. And the same thing happens in our community. You can't divide our stinky, sinful hearts certain ways on the outside, doing all the things that we know we're supposed to do, showing up to church, bowing our heads in prayer, giving our hard-earned money to worthy causes and to the ministry here, putting envelopes in the offering plate, all the things that you know that Christians ought to do. And don't get me wrong, these are good things to do. But what makes them meaningful at all? Taking the source of the problem, our sinful sinfulness, away. If it weren't for that, all we would have is just some outward guilty freshness that doesn't actually take care of the real problem. But we have a Savior, a Redeemer, who acted out of love for His people to give us so much more than just a temporary fix, so much more than just a spiritual breath mint, so much more than something doesn't want us to love everything in this world. We have a Redeemer who has gone to the source of our problems, to our very hearts, and has transformed them so that no longer are our hearts far away from the Lord, but we are drawn near, once again, to our Heavenly Father. We have a real dressmaker in Jesus Christ. Dressmaker who, through holy baptism, cleanses us and actually has the power to do the things that the Mentos commercials were trying to sell us back in the 90s. Jesus really does make everything better. Jesus really does take these otherwise impossible situations and makes them upside down and makes them right again. Jesus really does refresh us with His Word, with the forgiveness of our sins, with the promise everlasting life, which is filled with joy and peace for all eternity. That's why we worship the way that we do. We're not just trying to hide or cover up our sin, but we're responding to the fact that Jesus has already removed it from us. As far as the east is from the west, He's replaced it with the freshness and faith. Faith that receives these amazing gifts that He gives to us. What that does is it frees us up to then be bold and be very purposeful as we go out into the world. If you know that your bad breath is taken away, that gives you confidence to actually open up your mouth. That gives you confidence to shout the praises of the Lord and to speak with your neighbors and your friends about the hope that you have, and to walk alongside people who are hurting and struggling, be able to offer them something so much greater than just a catchy tune. Just a little breath.
his name, Thomas. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds free from evil in Christ Jesus. Amen. Please stand. We turn now to the bottom of page 192, which sings again for us the offer. Surgery yesterday. The surgery was successful, and she is today we are including Wayne Reed, who is a member of the Great Students Coffee, but we see a lot of folks in the community. He, the other day, fell off of his scaffold, and he broke seven ribs and had some other injuries. At this time, it seems that the injuries are not life-threatening, but the coffee has some recovery to rehab to. And so, please stand as we go to the altar. Let us pray for the whole church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Almighty God, as we use all hearts of our meaning, grant us the strength of building with honor and in traveling with our lips. Let's serve you faithfully with all our heart, our mind, and strength. Lord, you have mercy. Almighty God, you call and enter into the office of the ministry and your shepherds to achieve. Grant your wisdom to those who guide your church, including and embarrass the person in front. Give Shaw our distant present, our mind for our service, and all of the pastors and servants of the church. Steadfast in the faith so that it is not set forth as divine truth, those things that are only human tradition, but rather teach your word in honesty and clarity. Blessed are our partners in mission and ministry, especially our sister congregation, Trinity Lutheran and University of God, and their pastor, Paul Hayden. Lord, in your mercy. Almighty God, we give you thanks for the earthly blessings you shower upon us. We rejoice to those who rejoice. We especially lift before you all who are celebrating birthdays this week, including Michelle, Jonathan, Larry, Robert, Harper, Nancy, Eula, Renee, and Brad. O Lord, preserve your estate of marriage. Grant that husbands and wives who live in mutual submission to one another and reflect your love for your bride and church. Bless all who are celebrating special anniversaries, including Jerry and the father, and Jerry and the father. Lord, in your mercy. Almighty God, hear our prayers for our nation and its leaders, for all civil servants, and for those who work in perilous and unexpected domain. Especially watch over all officers in military, including Michael, Daniel, Brett, and Jesse, Chase, Alex, Isaac, Lord, Joyce, Samuel, and Shaylin, and Mark. Lord, in your mercy. Almighty God, in his earthly ministry, your Son healed the sick and comforted the hurting. Grant healing and peace to those taking treatment, to the ill or injured, to the lonely, and to the imprisoned, and to all those in need of our prayers, including all who are on our prayer list. Those who are in care facilities, including Fred, Eula, Jim, Charles, and Peggy. We look before you those who have been hospitalized and have surgeries, including Dorothy, including Ron. We also ask you, Lord, to watch over those with ongoing health concerns, especially Elijah, Thomas, Chris, Steve, Marvin, Andy, Stuart, Tyson, Francis, we ask that in the meekness, each hurting heart will obtain the fresh joy in your Son and exalt in you, Lord, in your mercy. Into your hands we commend all who we pray trust in your mercy. Jesus Christ, who are so strong, Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, and remain forever. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses. Thank you. Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be grateful to you. The Lord will let his countenance shine upon you and be with you. This is the last Thursday in August. One last time we have our end of the month here, so the last stage of the December meeting. Invited to join the service starting at 6 o'clock this evening. At 7 o'clock, there is men's choir rehearsal because this evening in August, we're getting back into special music season. The choirs are starting up again. There's announcements in the bulletin about not just the men's choir, but also the mixed choir.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining us for church today.
Have a blessed week.